Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. For this Sunday, the first reading is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 3 to 10 and 19, which is similar to a reading that we just did this past Wednesday. So perhaps you did not hear it, or if you did hear it, you're about to hear not the same commentary, but something at least similar, because it is the same passage. It's unusual. First book of Samuel, chapter 3, 3 to 10 and 19. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. And again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am, you called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." Now what's going on here is a process. It's a process where Eli is learning the action of God in the life of Samuel. And Samuel is learning how to recognize the voice of the Lord. It's a process, in a certain sense, that we all go through. How do I distinguish my wishes and my desires from the voice of the Lord? Repent of your sin as frequently and quickly as you can. Read the scriptures every day, and then you have some foundation. Always, though, talk it over with somebody else. Don't just say, "God told me to do this." Always test it out with a spiritually wise person. Don't just choose your friends who'll tell you how holy you are. No, no, no. But go to somebody, a confessor, another priest, a spiritual director, and seek the wisdom that you need. Is this of God? How do I distinguish it from my own desires? We need to ask those kinds of questions, and we learn, just like Eli and Samuel are learning. What is the voice of the Lord from a human voice? So do we. At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel grew up and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. What a blessing. What a blessing. Most of the time, God isn't going to operate with us the way he does with Samuel, but he does inspire. He does give us an idea in our head, and we are always free to just reject it or ignore it. Pay no attention to it. But sometimes God is prompting us either to call someone, be kind to someone, help someone out, or to bring a word of encouragement or hope. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Not your ideas, God's ideas. And that takes a lot of humility. It takes a strong prayer life, so begin. And by strong, I mean that you are praying every day and that you're seeking to conform your life to the Word of God every day. You'll make many mistakes. Just repent and keep going. But the more you allow your life to be shaped by the power of the Word and the graces that God gives with His Word, the more you can be used by God to bring help, to bring truth, to bring courage, to bring peace to other people. Samuel grew up and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. Not permitting any word of his to be without effect. How beautiful that would be if every one of us We're relating to God in a way that he could use us, and that his word, his guidance, his wisdom would have an effect in the lives of other people because he could use us. Open your heart to him. Psalm 40, here am I, Lord. I come to do your will. Here am I, Lord. I come to do your will. That's what we want to do, brothers and sisters, to do his will. That's where we're the happiest. Really, that's where we're the happiest. And the second reading is taken from the Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 13 to 15 and 17 to 20. Brothers and sisters, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. Do you not know that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price of someone's life. You have been purchased at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Your body's meant to glorify God, not to be used for your own selfishness. And I'm speaking of immoral actions here, rape, incest, pornography, and all the things that go with it. You have been purchased at a price. So you want to glorify God in your body, in your life. All of it. It's not just trying to think good thoughts in your mind, but you want your body to respond. And God will give you strength to overcome bad habits and patterns. He really will. And you'll become more whole, more cohesive. And he can use you as you were intended to be used, in the sense of you were created to glorify the Father. You were created to be a sign of his presence and his love to all mankind. He wants to use you for those things where you will find happiness and peace. So glorify God in your mind and glorify God in your spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Now let's read that again. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So John says this. The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" In other words, we want to draw closer to you. Where are you staying? And he said to them, come, and you will see. So they went, and they saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. Those of you who listen to this program regularly know how much that particular verse means. When something really changes our lives, when we meet the person we're going to eventually marry, Those things are so indelibly imprinted on our mind that we can recount it for years to come. And so that's why this one particular verse, it was about 4 PM, John was deeply touched by what happened here. And so when you are, you know a song that was playing, you know what the weather was like, you know what time of day it was, you know what you were wearing. There are things that just become indelible because what's happening to you suddenly realize is very significant. It was about 4 PM. And Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah." You know, this is one of those times when I get to heaven, I want to sit down with them and say, "How did this happen? How did you know that you had found the Messiah? What was it? Was it something he said? Was it the way he looked? What was it that you would recount it by including the verse, 'It was about 4 PM? How did he say it? What did he say? How did he look?" And then he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him. How did he look? Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. In that moment of encounter, Peter's life was totally changed. Have you encountered the living God? Give God time with you. Not just you're looking to get something. That's not it. But seek the Lord, saying, "Lord, I want a relationship with you. I want a deeper relationship with you. Will you come and help me? Will you teach me? Will you lead me?" The Holy Spirit dwells within you. He will lead you into a deeper and a deeper relationship with God. He honestly will. He is the Spirit of the living God. He will lead you to the Father. He will lead you to Jesus. "As the Father has loved me," says Jesus, "as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Live in my love." Again, read John chapter 17, the Gospel of John chapter 17. Brothers and sisters, we're being called into a genuine relationship with God, even in this life. Oh, it's limited because we're limited, but it's so much greater than anything you could imagine, even while it's limited because of our flesh and because of our sinfulness. It's real. God wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He wants to draw you to himself. Take a look at our website, renewalministries.net. Look at what we're offering in the bookstore section. Just take a look and see if God might be speaking to you through one of those books or CDs that we have. May God abundantly bless you. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to read again my booklet on faith more precious than gold. I've been talking a lot about faith and will continue to do so, and that booklet could be very helpful to you or to others you'd like to give it. Simply call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or go online to renewalministries.net and click on bookstore.